Since 2013, Bombas has donated over 100 million socks, underwear, and T-shirts to those facing homelessness. If we counted those on air, this ad would last over 1,157 days. But if we counted the time it takes to make a donation possible, it would take just a few clicks. Because every time you make a purchase, Bombas donates an item to someone who needs it.
Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win, and support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. Invesco QQQ is proud to sponsor this episode, and even prouder to provide access to innovation for the last 25 years. Basketball has had innovations over the years, too. We're seeing the game played in new ways every day. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.
Welcome to the round 9 edition of Supercoach Edge. My name's Damon, as I welcome in the cripper to my Walsh in Liam. Now, how's that? How do you like that?
Yeah, I like being the Halley Cripter.
Now, there's a bit of news on your end, Liam. How goes it? I hear you are the lucky host of a bug named COVID. Mm. Now, I ask the question, Liam. Did you happen to sample one of those infected donuts that you spoke of last week when referencing the 5 Essendon players that went out through illness?
No comment. I can neither confirm nor deny. Yes, I did take a big bite out of the COVID donut last week. Actually, I tested positive the day after the podcast record last week.
Yeah.
So you can see how I was fine and then the next day I wasn't.
Amazing.
While I was recording, actually. So I have been a little bit under the weather. The upside, though, I did get to watch plenty of footy this weekend. I think I watched every game. Not the whole of every game, but I watched a little bit of every game, at least a quarter or a half. So yeah. Did pretty well. A toasty little burrito on the couch on the weekend.
Nothing better. So you had your turn of being a burrito. I had my turn of being I was a toasty little burrito, but I was one that was had weeping eyes, running nose, like a tap. Wasn't the most glamorous burrito. Not one you'd want to order through GYG.
Love ya.
But anyway, enough about COVID. There's some big news, as you referenced, about some primos this week regarding a very popular primo in Jack Steele.
Yes. The prognosis wasn't good for the ever-reliable midfielder, as we'll be forced to use a trade on him, unfortunately. And we'll run through that, of course, in our trade segment in terms of, you know, what are the best options to look at potentially and also strategies that you could use when it comes to maneuvering this latest setback. But let's kick it off, Liam. Let's jump right in by reliving, I'm going to call it, past traumas in the form of the good, the bad, and the ugly.
Yes, in the good, the bad, and the ugly, we run through a quick recap of how our respective teams performed and the players that stood out for both good and bad reasons. And yes, I kick it off yet again. And I'm actually really miffed because I lost by 3 points.
Mm. Yep. You kind of came from the clouds, I must admit, because
I did. Yeah, it was very unexpected.
Going into the, I think it was the Carlton game. I had a look and I was like, I was projected to beat you by a good 50 to 100 points or something. Didn't really pay too much attention. All I saw was the margin was big enough for me to not worry about it. And then what happened next? Post the Carlton GWS game and the end of the round, of course, as well, you messaged me. I was miffed because I had no idea what you're talking about. I can't remember what you said initially, but it was something, it was words to the, what'd you say? It was,
I think I was like, I've,
holy shit or something in like,
yeah, I was like, capital, holy shit.
This is what you said word for word.
I know what I said.
Word for word. Yeah. You've won by 3 fucking points. And I just sent the emoji of like the question mark.
Yeah.
On that specific note, I was like, what? I thought you were referencing like another, like my league match, like our, you know, Supercoach Edge League match.
No.
And then you responded with, you followed it up, sorry, with, fuck me. Ha, 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 ha. And I just responded with, what? I had no idea. And before I had the chance to even have a look at our respective scores, you sent through the screenshot, me at the top in my specific matchup with Emp. Of course, as well, yep. Which I was very lucky to knock off on the weekend. And Baby. You and your matchup, and you said top and bottom. Just that's all you said. And I was like, ah, shit.
It's like the third matchup I've lost. Like I think round one I lost on scaling. That's how close that's it right. was. At the end of that game, end of the last game, we were tied. And then I got scaled down. A couple of points where you got scaled up a couple of points. I don't know.
Oof, jeez, yeah. It's another in the whole production line, I'm going to call it, of single digit losses that you've had, which is super unfortunate. But I'm having a pretty shit year at the moment. So I must admit.
Somo.
And you give me a little bit of hope to latch on to, but not too much.
I'm glad.
Something to look forward to. But
glad something comes out of my shit scores.
Yeah, the wheel's gone too much. A good segue. I'm gonna stand back. Very good.
And on to my shit score. 2,110 for this round. I fell in the overall ranking as well. I'm down to 27,436th overall. My trades were Noddy, Ward, and Rochelle to Sicily. Love that score. Carol and Rioli as well. On field, which hurt. But we'll get onto that in a second. In the good, I've got Damon's boy, Sammy Walsh. Had him for a couple of weeks now. High score for the year. A very welcome sight in my side this week. And just needed to score like 3 more points and I would have been even happier.
And that he was, I must say, he was the main reason as to why you came romping home and almost knocked me off the back of that great man. And he's kind of a bit of a kick in the guts he's delivered to me because I had the option of trading him in, which I'll get into when I chat about my team. But yes, let's just leave that there. Yep. He virtually almost single-handedly beat me.
Pulled me back.
In the matchup.
Yeah. In the bad, I've got Jaden Short, which is probably a bit harsh, but an 88 just isn't exactly what I was wanting for my primo defenders. Need to try some high standards to get myself back up those ranking points. So got to crack the whip there. Yep. And in my ugly, I've got a twofer.
Ooh.
Got both Lockie Whitfield's 43 and Stephen Coniglio's 37. But you know what? That's ugly, but there's hope. There's hope that there's we return to decent scoring when these two, you know, gun players really get played in their best position with the departure of, I reckon every super coach player's nemesis, Leon Cameron. So hopefully we see some nice scores from these two with a caretaker coach coming in and just letting the players play in their natural positions.
Yeah, he's one guy that is the bane of every, probably gone a bit too far, but I'm going to say the bane of every super coach's existence because, you know, we did dub Chris Scott, especially last season, the man who shall not be named. But I think he is worthy of that title, given what damage he has done to all of our teams, because a lot of people would have, especially Coniglio, in their sides. And Whitfield, I think at one stage, was the most owned player in the competition, not so much now, because a lot of people have grown frustrated, and rightly so. But going from talking about one shit, I'm going to say shit bloke, shit coach, to a shit team, and that is mine. Because I didn't fare much better than yours, Liam, with a terrible score of 2,113 and the low light of which was fielding the new recruit in Rioli, who returned a 7. Gee whiz.
Yeah.
Now, we spoke of the potential of him, you know, to have, you know, a bit of a downer due to the nature of his role, which we touched on last week, but I can guarantee we didn't bargain that it was going to be a score that low that he scored on the weekend. But I must admit, seeing his score, I think I was tuning in during the game and he was like going up and down. I think he got to like 12 at one stage and then just kept going down. And then at the end, I'm gonna reference another Simpsons moment, classic moment, where Milhouse is standing on top of the monkey bars looking sad with the wind blowing in his hair and got the dark sky in the background. And Ralph comments,
"There stands a broken man. It's recess everywhere, but in his heart."
And that's how I feel. Broken me.
I think you're right, though. I think he was on like 3 at quarter time. I feel like he was on about 7 at half time and then got up to like 12 and then came all the way back down to 7.
I don't know what he was doing. But on to the overall ranking and I guess the impact he and the rest of my shit team had on my ranking. So I did slide back to 13,120th. So I am into the 10,000 area now, unfortunately. And it seems like every week that I tend to make a little bit of progress, it's followed with a fall. So I need to correct that. Need to get it corrected. And hopefully like it's like, yeah, almost every second week I'm like up, down, up, down, up, down. But like over time, it's actually like decreasing. So it's not too good. In terms of the trades, so I thought I was going to be actually in for a decent score or at least a half decent week after bringing in 2 primos in the form of Doherty and Brayshaw. And Doherty ended up completing, also I thought, my defense, not factoring in Whitfield, of course. And then Brayshaw coming in at M7 and only having to play the one rookie, which on the weekend was Hobbs, who actually performed quite well as a rookie. And then I also brought in that man who we just spoke of, the most popular cash cow in Rioli at the expense of, so when Noddy was out, Dacos was out, and the man who I just will never forgive. It's almost on like the never again list.
Everyone knows it's Butters.
That's me.
So he turned in a score in excess. Like I knew it was going to happen. Happened to you, Liam.
It did.
When you traded him out, he turned it around for 1 week, mind you, and smashed out a score in excess of 100 like he did on the weekend. So it's one of those things, I think. I think I'm trying to look at the silver lining though, because if I did keep him, I would have sort of had a bit of a half idea that he would have scored well enough against, you know, a hapless North Melbourne side. But it means that I would have kept him and more than likely he's going to score shit on the weekend. So it would have prolonged the pain.
We've discussed his issues with playing at Adelaide Oval.
Yes.
He does play at Cadinia Park this week. So not at Adelaide Oval. But he's playing against Geelong, who he has a high score of 53 against and a low score of 43 against. So,
wait, how many games has he played against?
So he only played the 2 games. So
the 2,
those
but still.
2 scores. But it's not great. A run of form against that team there. And then he comes up against the Dons, but at Adelaide Oval. So you never know. Then plays Richmond at the MCG and then 2 games in a row at Adelaide Oval. So it's a bit of a rough sort of couple of weeks potentially.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I'm
not necessarily in his opponents, but sort of in where he plays.
Yeah, I'm hoping for my own sanity's sake anyway that he doesn't continue with the good form, because I'll be kicking myself. But anyway, let's move on to some good in terms of my team. So Sicily continues his insane run of form with a 141. And I think he's hands down the best trade-in of the season to date for me. He's absolutely killing it. And no matter the matchup, he just smashes it. So tip of the cap to you, fine sir. In terms of the bad, I must say Whitfield, he's quickly becoming a feature of this segment for me. But again, much like you mentioned earlier, Liam, I place the blame on that man, the outgoing man, Leon Cameron. And, you know, you never like to celebrate a bloke losing his job. But in this case, I will, because he resigned. He fell on his own sword.
Right. Yep. All right. He
probably
said,
probably through pressure. probably through pressure, but he's not deserving to be a senior coach. If you've been coaching a side for 9 years and you fail to identify the best role for your key players to get the best out of them, you don't deserve to be their senior coach. So I'm going to be very interested to see how the caretaker coach in Spike McVay, one of the former Dons, you'll be familiar with him, Liam. So hopefully he has a bit more sense about him and plays Whitfield and Cogs in their true positions. So the Supercoach community, as one, let's gather together and join us, Liam. Let's quote Ari Gold from Entourage as we farewell Leon Cameron fittingly with a...
You're fired, and in case your ears are fucked, get the fuck out!
farewell, Leon. All the very best in your future endeavors. No doubt he's going to stick around. But let's move on to the ugly. Even though that was pretty ugly, the way that I fared well, Leon. It may be harsh. So go from one harsh critique to another. I know he's only played the 3 games. He's only a rookie. But Morris Rioli Jr., what a failure. Even if I hadn't fielded him, the fact that he now has a 7, and this is probably more so why he's in the ugly, he now has a 7 in his rolling average for the next 3 weeks. So that's going to halt his price rise, which, you know, going to the weekend, looked like he was going to be skyrocketing to, you know, 100K plus, which he still may do. He can correct it. But, I mean, in the short term, I must admit, I was seduced by the name in this case. Morris Rioli Jr., you know, good pedigree. And, you know, he scored quite well in his first couple of games. Didn't really rely on goals to get his scores. Mm-hmm. But lesson learned, I think, for me going forward. Don't be seduced by the name, by the allure of the name. But let's have a look-see, Liam, at our head-to-head.
Yes, let's do that. Damon, you've had the 7 wins to my 2 losses with a point differential of 273.
Mm. Yes, like we said, it was a very, very, very close one. Only 3 points separating us. So whilst the win-loss margin has extended, and it doesn't look pretty, but doesn't matter because there's 2 parts to this and the overall point differential is the other part of it. And that really hasn't changed too much across the journey of the season so far. So that means he could well and truly run over me over the rest of the season. So I may win the battle, you may win the war. So hopefully. Let's see what happens.
But anyway, let's move on. Let's move on from that. And let's talk about the talking points that came out of the weekend with a little segment that we like to call the week that was. I don't care if Monday's black, Tuesday, Wednesday, hard to tell. Thursday, never looking back, it's Friday, I'm in love. In the week that was, we keep you up to date on all of the key talking points out of the latest round of AFL. And there's some big injury news affecting 31% of the competition, with Jack Steele succumbing to a shoulder injury in his game against the Cats. Did play out the game, which was very noble of him. I think I saw it. I messaged you as soon as it happened. I was like, Jack Steele's done his shoulder.
Yeah.
And then
you're in isolation, of course.
Yeah. So literally I was watching, I saw a lot of stuff. Saw a lot of stuff happen this weekend.
It's like you're having flashbacks.
When I saw him do his shoulder, I was like, oh no. Cause he just had that look on his face that was like, it didn't look like he was in pain, but he looked like he knew what he'd done.
Yeah.
Like he was just, he clutched at it and he was like
discomfort
on the bench. And it was just like, you could just tell it was this look of resignation on his face. And I think I messaged you straight away. I was like, he's done his shoulder. I don't know if he's coming back out. And then I think I flicked over to the other game for a bit or whatever happened. Might have made myself something to eat or whatever. And then he was back out and I was like, oh, okay. Maybe he's okay. And then it was clearly not that he was okay. But anyway, so he's going to be out for at least, you probably expect, the next 6 to 8 weeks. So I'm going to have to find a suitable replacement for the Man of Steel. But we'll chat about that in the next segment.
Yes, and another notable out for super coaches is that of Leon Cameron resigning from his position as head coach of GWS, as I delightfully mentioned in the previous segment. What's that? What's that? That German phrase, Schadenfreude, or whatever it is.
Yeah.
Where you take delightment out of the misfortunes of others. Schadenfreude or something, or Schadenfreude.
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 I don't know.
Schadenfreude. I'm not German. That's probably better. Yep. Schadenfreude. Yeah. So I think that's how we're feeling at the moment. But I mean, hopefully it does mean that we finally get a chance to see the likes of Cogs and Whitfield play in the positions that they're suited to. And yeah, hopefully it takes Spike a week to realize what their true positions are compared to Leon's. He had a bit of time up his sleeve, 9 years, in fact, to try and work that out, but failed to do so. So tip of the cap to you, Leon, on the way out.
Do you reckon, like, he obviously, Sheedy was the coach there first, and, you know, Sheedy was well known for just throwing the magnets around. Do you reckon Sheedy was just like to him, just throw the magnets around, and he just took it literally and was like, I'm not going to change him back. Like, throw them around once and
You reckon Sheeds is like saying it like figuratively, not literally, and you'd see Cameron in the coach's box throwing up the magnets and seeing where they land? That's probably what his coaching style was.
Surprised Toby Green wasn't in the rock at any stage.
Yep. Amazing.
Anyway, let's fire up the trade machine and jump straight into the next segment, and that is The Price is Right.
The price is wrong, bitch.
In The Price is Right, we run through the top buy, sell, hold, and wait options for this round of Supercoach. We'll chat about the pros and cons and what we'll be doing with our teams this week. And starting off with the hold category, which holds just the one player for this week. And it's a bit of a contentious one. I mean, you can probably go either side. And it is that man we've been speaking throughout the episode so far in Stephen Cornelio. Selectable as a midfielder forward. Priced at 429.2K, averaging an 88.2 with a break-even of 146. And I guess with the break-even 146, goes without saying that he's likely to hemorrhage a little bit of cash. However, there's still reason to hold him. So there's a bit of a however. So there is upside here. Yeah. And, you know, he could be a serviceable, looking sort of longer term, I guess. He could be a serviceable, you know, F6, F7 even off the bench if you can loop him potentially down the line if you can afford that with trades and money going forth. But the main thing is his role going to change? And under a new coach in Spike McVay, and also, so that's one tick. Second of all, coming off the back of a loss, you suggest there's a fair chance that there's going to be structural changes that will be made, and he's going to change a few things, try a few new things as well. The third thing is that he faces West Coast and North Melbourne in two of his next three games, starting with the Eagles this weekend. And unfortunately, Brisbane is sandwiched in between there. But but factoring these 3 points in, I think he could be a hold. And I think coming out of the weekend, before even looking into the future, with the crystal ball as to how he's going to perform and who he's facing, I was thinking, yep, he might have to go. And you alerted me to this because you're like, what about his break even? He's going to lose a lot of cash. And then had a closer look, got the microscope out, had a look at him. And it actually looks, I know we've been very pessimistic over the past few episodes and rightfully so because our teams have been going to shit, but you've got to be optimistic as well. And there's three things there that you can be optimistic about. And I think you could also extend this to Whitfield as well, which I think a lot of people, and I was probably more so in the camp of getting rid of Whitfield as opposed to Cogs, just because I'm so fed up with him. But, you know, having said all that as reasons as to why you should hold him, I will not blame any frustrated coaches out there that may want to trade him. But I think strategy-wise, it could pay off to zig, as they say, zig whilst others zag, and hold him in the hope that they start producing quality scores that we know that they can produce. That they've got a foundation over the years. We've seen what they can do when they're played in correct positions and when they're fit. And it looks as though they're fit enough. I know Cogs copped a little bit of a knee to the back in a marking contest. I think Doherty came in and kneed him in the back, and Cogs was in need of a doctor, but not that sort of doctor. But I think keeping both of these guys means that strategically you may get an edge over the competition. It just comes down to whether you can afford to wait, really. If we don't see much of a change, like say, for example, we see a change in roles for both of the guys, that's favorable, but they're not producing, you know, the high scores. Maybe you need to reassess, but I think it probably is worth, there's enough element there of questionability to stick by them. I don't know. What are your thoughts, Liam?
I'm torn.
You're torn.
Genuinely, I'm torn. I think the high break even scares me. I mean, he scored 149 this year, I'm pretty sure, or 145. Mm-hmm. Off the top of my head, it was high 140s. Sorry, it was in the 140s. Is his highest score.
Yeah, 149.
So it's not out of the realms that he scores that again and just makes a little bit of cash. I think it's unlikely. But so his high break even is my concern. But I just think there's too much potential for him to have a positive role change. I mean, we did also, in fairness, we have also seen a fair bit of volatility in his scoring across the year. So it's not like it's not like this is a one-off game that he's been a bit volatile. You know, we've had to ride, as we've said, he scored 149. I'm just trying to get his scores up, sorry.
Oh, he's round three against the Suns, he did it.
Yeah, and so yeah, he said that volatility. So, I mean, you kind of got to accept that. So I agree with you to an extent. I don't mind holding him. But if you can get him up to a genuine primo, which is questionable in the forward line, to be perfectly honest. That's my main concern. Like, I'm looking at my trades, trying to upgrade in the forward line, and I'm like, I don't know. I don't know who to trust. Heaney's, you know, had a bit of a downer, sort of in a bit of a downward spiral a little bit. You know, can you really take a Treloar, a Liberatore as a, you know, can you fill your whole forward line with Dogs players? Yeah. Bont potentially coming up as well. You know, there's a lot of options, but I just don't know. It's hard to trust the forwards at this stage. So I think it's sort of in that basis, I'd almost hold.
Yeah, the one thing as well, just with Cogs, I'm just having a look at his CBAs, and he only really had opportunity in the middle in the first two rounds with 59% and 55%. And then from then on, he had some 12%, 21%, 11%, 5%, 3%. And was just almost phased out completely from the CBA rotations. And then in the past 2 weeks, he's had 20% and 23%. But that really hasn't translated to any scores. But I think the one good thing about him in terms of, like, his scoring hasn't been, you know, hasn't blown us away, but it hasn't been too bad. He scored 80s, 99, 149, 96, 91, 108, 70. So I think Whitfield is probably the more problematic of the two, if you're going to say that.
Yeah.
But I think, the one thing, like, with his scoring from week to week that's been underpinned by is his tackles. He's had 5-4, 5-4, 8, 5, 7, 5, and 3. So I think that's the one thing that's kind of setting a bit of a high-ish floor. So, I mean, it's not really a high floor, but looking at his scores, he hasn't really hit his ceiling, you could say. So, I mean, that's reason enough to be positive about that. Okay, if he's going to get more CBAs, there is actually, because his floor isn't too low, I think that suggests probably a higher ceiling to me anyway. But I think it's up to the eye of the beholder as to where you want to go. Yeah. But
and whether you've got issues across the field that you need to deal with as well. So for me personally, I've obviously got Steele. I do have Caldwell, who potentially may be out, may play, not sure. He also suffered a bit of an injury to his shoulder. If he's out, I've got to deal with him. It sort of just makes it hard for me to have to worry about a Cogs as well, especially looking at a forward who I just don't know who to trust. I'm going to just leave my forwards until the last minute.
Yeah, well, that was my plan from the get-go, I think, is like we spoke about in early days as well, that, you know, you can identify, obviously, in the midfield, there's so many different options, but they're good options. And you could probably, you know, narrow it down to, you know, between 8 to maybe 12 players, top 12 players. Mm. And if you get a player that's outside the top, you know, 8, at least you know you're going to get a decent return. Whereas, you know, probably to an extent as well with the defense, you knew that Short was going to be good. Crisp was going to come good. Doherty's come from the clouds, but, you know, only took 3 weeks or thereabouts to know that he was a real deal and he was back to full fitness. Hewitt's been a revelation. Sicily's been great. One of the best defenders this year so far. But you have a look up forward and apart from Dunkley, who's been most reliable, there isn't really anyone else that you can hang your hat on. I mean, Brody, who was the you know,
again, came from the clouds to an extent.
Yep. Yeah, exactly. And everyone started with Cornelio because he was so cheap. And you know, the value for dollar that you're getting there was quite high. Nick Martin's revelation as well. Had a bit of a downer on the weekend, but you can afford that. He's put in the yards. And then you've got guys, you know, rookies virtually like McCartan, DeConning, you know, rookie priced in terms of that. McCartan, DeConning, and then other guys as well that have come through, but haven't been really reliable. And there aren't that many reliable primos. Heaney's had a bit of a downer, like you mentioned before.
Yeah,
Parker's started to come good. He's maybe the second four that I'm most confident in. But having said that, you know, I say most confident with inverted commas there, because even then, he didn't come good until maybe a month ago or thereabouts. And prior to that, he was pretty ordinary, just in terms of his structure and the role. So yeah, maybe it's worthwhile waiting until the buys and upgrading over there.
Well, I mean, looking at the top, as you said, the top six current forwards, Josh Dunkley makes sense, would be pretty obvious to most people. Heaney's on a current downer. His three-round average is 90. Luke Parker's, again, as I agree with you, Liberatore really come from just a change in role back into the middle, but obviously being forward eligible. You got Brody, and then you got Tom Lynch, who is basically getting there based off the fact that he's kicking bags.
And past 3 weeks, he's bloody got 150 plus and killed it.
Yep. So his three-round average is 158.7.
That's not someone you can trust.
No, don't. I'm no way suggesting to trade him in. So I think that's where my mindset is with that, is even when I was looking at what I could do with my forwards, there's just no one I really trust enough to bring in at this stage.
Yep. Yeah, very nice. Well, that was a good discussion on Cornelio and Whitfield by extension. Let's move into the sell category.
Megalo, grand sale.
Obviously, the first one is Jack Steele.
Yep, Jack Steele, midfield eligible. 590.8K with an average of 109.6 and a break even of 199. The Man of Steel courageously played on through his injury, but scans have unfortunately shown he requires surgery on his AC joint, meaning he is likely to miss up to 8 weeks. Unfortunately, for that reason, he is a trade.
Yes, very much so. And we'll delve into shortly who the best, I guess, buy candidates are in terms of primos and maybe another strategy that you could use to zig whilst others zag. But the next candidate to sell, and it's probably one guy that is deserving of a rest, and it is Connor McDonald. He is midfield forward eligible, priced at 207.1K, averaging a 43.1 with a break even now of 49. And, you know, when teams were released, he was listed initially, like the previous week, as being rested. Yeah. But the Hawks are just refusing to give this poor young bloke a rest. So for the second week in a row, he was brought in this week as a sub. Previous week, he was brought in as a late inclusion. But he did manage to score a 30 coming on before halftime on the weekend and went up another 3.7K. So very, very nice by the youngster there to keep us in mind, to keep the cash generation ticking over. But with his break even of 49 now higher than his three-round average of 42.7, it's time to cash him in. It's he's done well. I think he's made.
Has he? He's made 87K, I think.
I was only 87. I thought he was ticking up to 100K.
Nah.
Okay. Well, I'll retract that comment then. But I speak of that in comparison to another Hawks youngster that was very popular that fell flat on his face in Josh Ward. So comparing the pair. He hasn't done too badly.
Okay,
relatively cheap.
McDonald hasn't done as bad. He did make just a smidge under 90K.
There we go, yes.
Just a smidge. I'll retract my statement.
He was very much the epitome of, or he is the epitome of a slow burn cash cow. He's just, he's kept it ticking over, which is good. I mean, the alternative is having someone like a Rioli score a 7 and then bloody just nose diving their cash gen. So look at the positives. I'm trying to be upbeat.
That is true. Very true. Now let's move on to another popular rookie, and that is Nick Dacos, midfield eligible and defensive eligible, 381.4K with an average of 81.4 and a break-even of 75. So he does have that higher break-even of 75, and he has fattened quite nicely, already making 187.6K. So he could actually be a hold or a trade. I think it depends on your individual circumstances and team structure. His three-round average is 74.7, so right on that 75. And his just averaging in general, 81.4. So, I mean, you could probably hold him for another week if you needed to. I probably will be doing that this week, personally.
Very, very nice. And let's move on to the buy category. And all of these players, which we'll speak about now, are players that headline as the best replacement options for Steel. Mm. So first up, we have probably the arguably the most popular option, and it is Rory Laird. He's selectable just as a midfielder, priced at 634.2K, averaging a 122.9 with a break-even of 108. And I guess he presents as one of the most reliable options because he's only fallen below 110 once this season with a 93 in his first game after suffering a hand injury, of course. So just worked his way into it, and he is paying dividends, especially for those people that jumped on early days. But you'll have to fork out an extra 34K for Steel to Laird, but I think it's worth it. I mean, his scoring and the fact that he's got that massive floor shows that, especially if you're going, your main priority is head-to-head leagues, if you're in cash leagues and whatnot, this is going to pay dividends from week to week because you know that he's going to come in with that real high floor. And even if he has a bit of an off game, he's going to deliver a 93 at very least. So that, but also the other good thing, which will change, of course, but at the moment he's only in 2% of teams, but that'll probably inflate to, who knows, maybe 10% thereabouts.
He's already been traded in by about 4.7% of teams. So he's going to be up at least 7%, you'd expect.
I think the one saving grace is that might put a bit of a cap on the number of people that go for him is the fact that you have to fork out that extra 34K. And some people may not have that money in the bank already, or they may not afford to, you know, use another trade to generate that cash to make up the difference. So yeah. I think he'll still be a relative pod in comparison to others. But yeah, I think he's probably out and out the most standout option of the lot that we're going to talk about. But who else do we have, Liam?
Yes, we have, he's in your side actually, Andrew Brayshaw, another mid-eligible player, 557K, averaging 116.4 with a break-even of 100. And he comes at a discount on his starting price. He's dropped about 27.3K from where he started at the start of the season. So he is ranked as the seventh best mid in Supercoach. And he represents... I think he does present, as a pretty solid value. But like Petrarca, who we'll touch on a bit later, his floor isn't as high as some of the more, I want to say, bona fide mids. He's fallen below 100 on four occasions, including on the weekend off memory. Yes, he scored 94. Yep. And just looking at his three-round average of 101.7 and his five-round average of 108.2, I'm not so certain that he's the best pick. I know you picked him. I think he presents as value.
That's the main sticking point for me.
My concern with him is that his scoring seems to have sort of just hit a bit of a divot, I want to say.
Mm. No, it's very, very, very true. I guess the one thing with him is, so he's facing Collingwood on the weekend at, I guess, a home game, isn't it? Back at...
off the top of my head, I don't know, sorry.
MR. What's MR?
Marvel.
Oh, no, it's Marvel, okay. But his past few scores against the Pies have been 110, 106, and he's had a 74. But I think longer term, you've got to remember that Nat Fyfe is on his way back. Mm. And I think with him being back in there, he might go a bit under the radar when it comes to opposition teams. So I know that Fyfe has returned to training now, so I don't know if he's going to make his return this weekend, but I think longer term, may bode well just in terms of his role and, I guess he's scoring long term. But you're totally right. That was the main thing for me is that he's got that value about him at his current price point. He's still the seventh best midfielder, scoring midfielder at the moment. I mean, he's an option. And he's probably, you know, comes in, what's that, about 80K thereabouts, cheaper than Laird. But with that comes that lesser reliability on scoring from week to week.
Yes, and just quickly, just to update, actually, to correct, he is playing at Optus Stadium, but interesting that they had MR.
Yeah.
So he is playing at home.
Maybe they didn't correct it because it would have been a floating fixture. Maybe when they, you know, initially Supercoach did that and they just assumed that it may have been, I don't know. But anyway, yes, he's very much an option to consider. The next option is another player that's probably considered value at the moment, and it is Christian Petrarca, priced at 578.8K, averaging a 116.8 with a break-even of 99. And he comes at that discount of 27.4K on his starting price. And his lower price means, of course, that you'll make some cash if you trade Steele down to him. And I guess the one knock on him is that he hasn't really got the highest floor of the midfield options, very much like Brayshaw, falling below 100 on three occasions. But he has, I guess, a very, very sizable ceiling at times. Yeah. And it is boosted by his, you know, his knack for kicking goals, drifting forward, and just absolutely killing it for the D's. So, yeah, I mean, at the moment, he is ranked as the sixth best midfielder. So, one to consider.
And, might I add, he comes up against North this weekend.
Ah, big one. Big one, of course. So
I'll just leave that in whoever wants to think hands. About its little hands. Yes. And yes, just something to consider. Just consider it. But anyway, let's move on to another very popular option based off the trade-ins for this round so far. He's the fifth most traded in player, come in to 4.5% of trades. And that is Callum Mills, mid-eligible, 669.5K, going to set you back a little bit, with an average of 125.3 and a break-even of 167.
Wow.
I've got some thoughts on this, and you're going to hear
he's going to drop. Good. Because I've got a few thoughts, and you're probably going to cover them off. So, fire away.
Cool. Let's go. Mills is the second highest ranked mid in 2022, and you know what? He has a massive ceiling. With his top three scores of 147, his score on the weekend of 167, and a mammoth 214. So I see why people are making this trade. Like, I understand it. But you know what? I don't actually understand it. And I feel it's a little bit foolhardy. Break even of 167. Now, just bear with me on this one. Supercoach Gold has him set to drop by just 6.7K with a projected score of 152.
Get out of here.
Now, look, you know what? I'm just going to, whatever. All right, fair enough. That's what Supercoach Gold projects. It seems pretty high considering he does face Carlton, who he has an average 90 against across seven games with a highest score of 117.
Unless Supercoach Gold have like the crystal ball, the Supercoach Edge crystal ball, and they can accurately predict that he's going to score that much. They're dreaming. Well, tell them they're dreaming.
His three-round average is 122, and his five-round average is 139, but that's not 150. I just don't quite know where they're getting this projected score from. So just factor in that he's probably going to drop by a considerably more than 6.7K.
Yeah.
All right. Now, you also need to shell out almost 70K to move from Steele to Mills, whereas a trade to someone like Laird, that'll cost you 34K.
Yep.
But now, let's consider the difference in his best or his higher end scoring and his lower end scoring. So essentially I've looked at his quartile three scores and his quartile one scores, so his lower scores and his sort of higher end scores. And the range is quite big at 63. So his range between his best and his worst is quite large. On the other hand, you look at someone like Laird and it's just 14.5 points. So his ceiling isn't obviously as high as Laird, as Mills, but Laird is going to be more consistent. You can pretty well rely on what Laird is going to score. Mills, on the other hand, you know, he's got that 200 and whatever it was, 214, but he's also got a 60 in his scoring. The other thing, just had a little bit of a look at Mills' average at the SCG versus other grounds, comparing scores since the start of 2021. Mills averages 108.3 at the SCG, which is obviously his home ground, and 123.5 at other venues. So he's not scoring as well at home. Well, he doesn't average as well at home. And he's set to play another 6 games at the SCG this year. So just, you know, keep that in mind. I'm not saying that Mills is a bad pick overall, at all. Like, I think he's going to be a great pick. I just don't think this is the week to bring him in. I think it's mind-blowing that you're going to spend 669.5K and he potentially next week is, you know, down at 650.
Yeah, I'm very much, just to keep it short, I'm very much in the same camp as well. I mean, you've just got to look. I actually hold more weight. I know, obviously, 5 games is a bigger sample size compared to the 3-game or 3-round average.
Yeah.
But the 3-round average obviously is more reflective of the current form that he's in. And at the moment, I mean, just comparing the pair when it comes to, you know, using Laird as an example, 3-round average between both of them, Mills is 122 and Laird is 127. And I mean, obviously 5-round average for Mills is 139 to Laird's 124. But you have a look at who he's played and what he scored in the past 5 rounds. And so he's played West Coast, Hawthorn, and Essendon, who he's absolutely beat up. To his credit, he actually scored quite well against Brisbane, a quality team, with 139. Mm. But and sorry, if you extend that out to 6 games, he played North with a 130. So he's actually, Sydney have had a really good fixture in terms of the way that it's laid out. But I think when you're comparing him and Laird, I would hands down choose Laird 9 times out of 10 over Mills. Just value for money, I think. I mean, the difference is only 35K or thereabouts. But I mean, the 35K at the end of the season could prove the difference between upgrading to, you know, an ultra primo or a primo. So you've always got to keep that in mind. And you know, you don't have to be a tight ass about things, but when you're looking at, you know, comparative scores and comparative primos, they're kind of in the same realm, but they're separated by that 35K, which is quite strange and quite stark. And Mills is going to drop, he'll drop in price 100%. Strange.
Well, that 214 drags up his 5-round average to 139. If you look at the rest of his scores in that 5-round average, it's 167, obviously quite high, 60, 139, the 214 and the 117. Mm. So, I mean, it's going to be high, but it's dragged up quite a lot by that 139. It's very inflated, especially when you consider there's a 60 in there. So I think just bear that in mind to an extent.
Across both of those weeks, so he's made a bulk of his cash in 2 weeks, which is round 6 against the Hawks with 214 and round 7 with 139. Both of those weeks, he went up 56.7K and 45.9K, which is just unheard of, unless, of course, you're Tom Lynch and you're kicking bags of goals for 2-3 weeks in a row. But that in itself shows how inflated his price has gone up that much off the back of 2 weeks, not off the back of, you know, a scoring span of, you know, 2 months worth of scoring. So
yeah,
it's very much a short term thing.
I think, yeah, I'm not against the pick. I think it's just the wrong week.
Yeah. Yeah.
You bring him in this week and he's going to drop probably 20K at least.
And if he does as well, if he has a bit of a downer, because in round 8, he scored the 60, that's going to stay in his rolling average for next week as well. So if he has another 60 on the weekend, it's going to be 60, 60 and a 167. And he's going to drop, especially considering his break-even's 167 at the moment. So just keep it in mind. Keep it in mind, I think. But like you, I think he's still a good pick and he will be a top 8 mid, I think, at this stage. But just in terms of what other options are out there, there are better options, I think. Hmm. But let's move on to the running man in Took Miller. Another really good option. Priced at 632.2K, averaging a 119.6. With a break even of 120. And the running man, He has bounced back after some worrying signs earlier in the year with scores of 150, 122 and 130 in his most recent games for a three-game average of 134. So I think it goes without saying, he is another very, very good pick that you just can't go wrong with. Super reliable.
No, agree entirely there. Not much has to be said about it. I think it's just he's a good pick.
It is what it is.
It is what it is. And then I guess just looking at it, there's another option, I guess, and that is Primos on other lines. So obviously doing some DPP switches if possible. So you could also trade him to, you know, another Primo such as Luke Parker or Heaney up forward, maybe a Sicily or a Doherty in defence. And this presents, I guess, as a rare opportunity to potentially strengthen another line in team that is weaker, potentially. So it's just good to explore all the avenues that you have up your sleeve, especially with the mids, which tend to have decent or seemingly have decent enough, rookie scores. So you can potentially, you know, trade him out, swap a Dacos back into your midfield, and then trade in a Sicily. That's probably a decent enough scoring opportunity for you there.
Absolutely. Let's move to On the Bubble. And we're going to chat about the most viable players on the bubble this week, because there are a few, but these are the best of the best, I guess. And top in the list is probably goes without question, Greg Clark of the Eagles. He's midfield eligible, priced at 117.3K, averaging 83 with a break-even of negative 97. And obviously speaks for itself, mature age, highly rated, scoring nicely, and he's getting decent opportunity in the midfield, as he did on the weekend with 72%. CBA, so he's just a lock and load must-have rookie of the year, I think.
Love it. He'll be making his way into my side this week. Another option from the Bulldogs is Buku Kamis, defensive eligible, 127.4K with an average of 53.5 and a break-even of minus 32. Now, he's not necessarily, I guess, a must-have, but if you're in need of a downgrade option in defence, Kamis presents as one on the bubble. Despite being listed as a defender, he is playing as a forward for the Doggies and performing well enough in his spot, having kicked three goals on the weekend. But if you prefer to wait, there is another option in defence. The Dogs are gifting us, and that is Cleary at the slightly cheaper price of 117.3K, and he did score 61 in his first game. Probably a little bit more sure with his role as well in the back line for the Dogs, who are obviously screaming out for some key position players in their defensive line. I don't mind him. I'm probably considering bringing him in, potentially trading out someone like a McDonald and then using some DPP switches to get him in. So I won't be relying on his scores. He'll be sitting on my bench, but just a sort of a handy cash cow that just sits there.
The one good thing about his offsider in Cleary, if you wanted to wait, was he actually had 7 marks on the weekend. Granted, it was against against the Pies, but he is sort of another option. If you can't afford to wait, if you can afford to wait, he's another option. But Kamis looks like he's actually got a nice role in the forward line of all things for the Dogs, which is strange. But rounding it out is another option. And it is a mature age option, one that hasn't played for quite a while up until this year. And it is Roy Thompson of the Suns, defensive eligible, 123.9K, averaging a 44.5 with a break-even of negative 16. And I must say, for those of you who have been playing Supercoach for quite a number of years, like myself, he is the best equivalent. He just reminds me so much of Simon Prestigiacomo of years past, who used to front up for the Pies in defense. Because he's a genuine lockdown key position defender, and he's only worthy of being selected as a warm body on your bench, as cover across the byes. That's it. Like, you don't want him on your field at all, but he's virtually like a non-playing player in a sense. Like, he's not going to come out and give you awesome big scores or be an intercept marker of the quality of like a Tom Stewart. He's just literally a nuts and bolts lockdown defender. So I was going to call him the inanimate carbon rod of bench players, because he doesn't really fill a role, but I think he's a bit more than that. He's just, I'm going to call him warm body. He's a warm body if you really want to go down that route. But we've got Kamis, we've got Cleary coming up, so you don't really need to go down that route. And I probably wouldn't wouldn't encourage people doing so.
No, but I think that sort of speaks to the level of other. He was probably the next. I mean, he's been traded in, Damon. He yep. is the 10th most traded in player for this round by 2% of teams. Not one for me personally.
Now, in celebration of our next segment, which a lot of people would know is coming up, here's a bit of a throwback to an old Bird's Eye Fish Fingers ad, which was a staple of my childhood. So for those of you out there that are as old and somewhat wise as me, here's a throwback to an ad in the late 90s where they yell, "We want the captain."
Are you hungry? If your crew gets restless, there'll be mutiny.
We want the captain.
So give them the goodness of Bird's Eye for tea.
We want the captain.
They're crunchy and golden like pieces of eight.
We want the captain.
Out of the oven and onto the plate.
We want the captain.
A range that's balanced from the first bite.
We want the captain.
With nary a thing artificial in sight.
Except for meat leg.
We want the captain. Bird's Eye.
Yes, and I'm the captain.
We want the captain. Give us the captain, Liam.
All right, we've got some good options this week for you. We'll run through quickly. We scrounged through the data and we found the best options for you. First up, in the first game of the round, we've got Paddy Cripps, Helicopter, against Sydney on Friday night at 7:50 p.m. at Marvel Stadium, averaging 128.25 over his last four against the Swans. Pretty good. Scores of 133, 108, 157 and 115. His second best average comes against the Swannies, averaging 111 over nine games. Juicy VC option there.
Very much so. Good old Helicopter. Second up, we have Jack McRae, who faces Gold Coast on Saturday at 1:45 p.m. He's averaged 144.5 over his last four against the Suns with scores of 146, 124, 169, and a 139. So that, in combination with the Gold Coast, they give out the fourth most points of any side to inside midfielders. So he is sitting in prime position to have another day out and continue this nice run of form against the Suns. And he has his best average against this mob in the Suns, averaging a 135.6 from 11 encounters. So what a, you know, like a sample
Stars
size that is.
Are really aligning.
They don't want to be, because it seems like almost every second
week. The planets
are aligning. The Helicopter.
Yeah, that's how. Get rid of him, VC Jack McRae.
Just keep Helicopter on the landing pad and jump on the Jack McRae rocket. He's rocketing.
It's a rocket to the aligning planets. Very good option there. Next up, we've got Tuk Miller in that same game, averaging 109. It's pretty harsh. He's averaging 109 in his last four against the Crows, the Dogs, with scores of 96, 120, 140, and 80. And you just ignore him. Ignore Tuk Miller. Go straight for Jack McRae.
Yeah, exactly. Don't worry about him.
Soz Tuk Tuk.
Yep. Sorry, mate. Keep on running. Another option is Clary Oliver faces the hapless North Melbourne on Saturday at 4:35 p.m. And he's averaged 109.25 over his last four against the Roos with scores of 116, 137, 109 and 75. So it was a bit of a downer on the weekend, unfortunately, for Clary, because I thought he was going to absolutely have a day out and punish me for keeping the C on Neil, but wasn't to be. But who knows? I mean, against North Melbourne, he and anyone really in Melbourne's lineup can bounce back. So keep him in mind.
Yes. Next up, popular trading option, Rory Laird against St Kilda on Saturday night at 7:30 p.m. He's averaged 117.75 over his last four against the Saints with scores of 132, 91, 124 and 124. But he does have a three-round average of 127 and a five-round average of 124.8 and has only dropped below 120 two times across seven games in 2022. So he's a very safe option if you're just wanting a safe captaincy option on a Saturday night. Sometimes that's what you need. You just need to remember that you just need to bank on something that's, a pretty sure bet.
Yep, no, exactly right. next up, we have Lachie Neale, who faces the Hawks on Sunday at 3:20 p.m. And he's averaged 115.25 over his last four against the Hawks, with scores of 70, 157, a 114, and a 120. So the other thing to keep in mind, and we like matchup exploitations, Liam, and the Hawks here give away the most points to inside midfielders. So he could be in for a day out.
He's averaging three in his last three rounds, 141.7 as well. So it's just, again, stars aligning.
Stars aligning.
Spoil for choice today. I'm really, really happy with this.
We are. But, I mean, we were spoiled for choice the other week when we thought Gorm was going to come out and absolutely pummel. Who was it? I can't remember who it was now. I've erased it from my memory. And we had the C on him.
That's true. Well, I didn't. I added on Crips. So I don't remember that day.
Nor do I. I don't even know what I'm talking about because I've erased it from my memory.
But anyway, let's move on
to our selections.
Yeah. Do you want to go first?
Okay. Well, I think, as we said, stars aligning. McRae is returning, half decent score every second week. So theory is if I stick by him again, I mean, he's still doing well, but he's not doing well, like McRae well. So if I stick by him again this week, he should surely return a good VC score. And with that, a good matchup against the Suns, who he has beat up across the journey. I think we're in for an absolute treat, fingers crossed there. If he does fail, Oliver and Neil, I think, look to be the next best two options of the potential captains. What about yourself? What have you got?
I think Neil will be my captaincy option. I don't think I've got too much to think about there. Probably going to go McRae. I like it. But, the helicopter might tempt me a little bit.
You almost got me there. I almost spat my water out. you're gonna pull a sneaky again, in our matchups, and you're going to, take the C off Neil or do something sneaky and put it on Crips again, like that week we just spoke of when I put the C. I thought you were going to go down the Gorn route, and you didn't, and you put it on Crips. And I thought, oh, yeah, at least we're both doing shit. Nick Minute, nah, put the C on Crips.
Yeah, Crippers. Yeah. straight in. All right. Do you want to check out the Supercoach Edge group rankings, Damon? I think you've got some exciting news for us.
Oh, I do indeed. It's a bit of a sweet treat, you could say, if you want to call it sweet. Ugh. But anyway, group rankings and the Supercoach Edge Cash League. Let's check in with the group rankings. And it is, I'm going to call it a treat because it's a treat every single week. And it's been a treat for the past 3 weeks. Get this. So who do we have? I can't remember them, but it was Lever wanting more. Lever was the highest scorer.
Well, Lever wanting more, yep.
And overall highest scorer was Tyler with his team Cream Pies, ripping team name. And then there was another last week it was Barney's Best as the highest scorer. Second week in a row, overall high scorer again, Tyler with his team Cream Pie. So Barney's Best Cream Pies. But just to round out, and I was hoping for this. I was really quietly hoping for this. So if you're out there, Tyler, can you tweet us in or send us a message on Facebook, whatever, because you are providing endless entertainment to our dirty minds here.
Just to Damon.
Oh, sorry, just to me. You're just laughing at my reaction. So this week, to round out the trilogy, we have high scorer of the week for round eight. You wouldn't believe it. Tyler with his team, Cream Pies, scoring 2,423 with a round rank of 284. The overall highest scorer. Can we have a drum roll, please? We have Tyler with his team, Cream Pies. we have what we could call a double serving of Cream Pies here. Ooh. 3 weeks in a row with a total score of 21,273 and an overall rank of 30, up from 73. And I refer to it as a trilogy, which makes me wonder, could we go into this week with a bit of a tagline? Because just to celebrate the fact that he's the highest scorer he's the overall highest scorer for the season. And I was thinking maybe something like Jaws, we're going to need a bigger boat, something like that. Or American Pie, the tagline for that. was there's something about your first piece. The other alternative taglines for that movie, which I think are quite applicable for this, which I didn't even realize was why were the taglines, was fill that sticky hole or come again. I think I prefer the last one because that's the first thing that came to mind when I saw that Tyler had his team filling both positions. Wow. Absolutely amazing. Ooh. I don't know if you got anything to add for that, Liam.
No, I think we should just move. What a trilogy.
What a box set. Woo. All right, I'll jump in. So if you want to enter the Supercoach Edge group, of which you can join at any time, the code is 142059. And anyone with any entertaining names that you think could fit well with Tyler's team name, just join. Just join and do your very best to be the highest scorer for round 9. Oh, sorry, round 10, should say. We've lost our marbles. For round 10, because if you're, or even just change, I don't know if you can change your team name. I might do that for a week and see if I can be the highest scorer of the round. Oh, there's so many options.
Give you extra incentive.
Yeah. maybe the players in my team actually might score well because extra incentive for them to score well. But what about the league rankings, Liam?
Yeah, let's move on. Just a quick update for the Supercoach Edge Crown League for the Tier 3 Patreon subscribers. And the winners from the round were Damon with his team DJ Trade A Lot, very nice. Arthur with his team Black on White. Brett with his team The Sharpshooters. Myself with Church of Woo! Parish. And very nice. I was very happy with that. and Bruce with his team Shuin. That's it.
That's it. That is literally it because it's the end of the show. But before we go, where can our listeners and viewers find us across our social channels?
Yes, so you can find us on YouTube if you search Supercoach Edge and don't forget to like and subscribe. On Twitter, you can find us at @Supercoach_Edge. Damon at DamonJ88, at myself at @Liam_Evans_95. And on Facebook and Instagram. And on Facebook and Instagram, search Supercoach Edge. Search Supercoach Edge and you'll find us there. Sorry, I have. This is as far as my brain has worked this week. So I am.
You've done well.
Struggling.
I'm sorry to do this to you, Liam, because I know your brain is in the COVID fog and you've experienced what I experienced recording a show with that fogginess. But now you've had to deal with this absolute calamity with the double serving. But speaking of double servings, looking at the time, I reckon it's dessert time, Liam. It's dessert time. Let's wrap up the show and go and enjoy a nice slice of warm apple pie. Anything you want to add?
No, I'm done.
Okay, that's it. Thanks, guys. We'll catch you next week. We'll see you then. Good luck for the weekend.
See you, guys.
Hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win, and support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. The future isn't scary, not realizing its potential, however, could be. Just like on the recruiting trail, I've seen potential come in many forms as a coach. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.